Restoring some balance?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. If you've got a credit card, then you have some new protections today. The Credit Card Accountability Act takes effect. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports it's just the beginning of new rules on how credit card companies can charge fees and raise interest rates.
Here's my Visa bill, and there's an $11 charge for not paying in full last month. It's due September 4th, so my bank is complying with one new rule. I get 21 days before they hit me with a late fee. Also, if they change the interest rate or fees, they have to give 45 days warning.
And not only that,
Pedro Morillas of the California Public Interest Research Group.
But if you say, I disagree with this increase in my interest rate, you have the option to cancel the card and set up a payment plan with them at the current rate.
Maria says another big change happens in February. That's when card companies have to alter how they calculate interest payments. They'll also have to limit rate increases.
They're not going to be able to change your interest rate because you're late on a payment to another credit card company.
These companies have already launched preemptive strikes on the new restrictions, hiking fees on things like cash advances, reducing credit limits, and canceling some cards altogether. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The White House says the federal deficit will be huge this fiscal year, a new record, but it'll be about $260 billion smaller than first thought. And that's in part because Wall Street bounced back better than expected. When the budget report comes out next Tuesday, the deficit will total $1.58 trillion. That's still three times more red ink than last year. For stock markets, summertime means light trading, and that means volatility. Whiplash continues today. European markets are bouncing up between 1 and 2%. Most Asian markets rose the same amount. Shanghai shares rallied after being beaten down the last few days. On Wall Street yesterday, U.S. oil inventories shrank, oil prices jumped, and energy stocks led the way. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ gained 0.7%, as did the Dow, up 61 points to 9,279. We told you this week White House officials appear to be backing away from their insistence on a public health insurance program that would compete with private insurers. This did not go down well with the left. Former Democratic National Committee Chair Howard Dean said you can't do health care reform without a public option. Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus says this debate misses the point. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
How does the public option debate miss the point? What is the point?
Well, the point is really if we have 47 million people in this country uninsured, if we have health care costs running amok, if we have huge premiums to people with health conditions or people with pre-existing conditions being denied coverage, how do you solve that problem? Now, a public plan was very attractive to people like me who think a Medicare for all system would probably be best for this country, but it's not the be-all end-all of health care reform.
Well, the White House made it sound like public option was going to be a big part of driving down costs. So if they're giving that away, what's the White House get in return?
And that's a real good question. How are you going to level the playing field against the private insurers since Obama cast this whole thing as the leavening stone for that? More than likely, if he is going to be giving the insurance industry the health care mandate, the requirement that everybody has to buy their product, and this is what the industry desperately wants, if he gives them that and takes the public plan off the table, well, in return, he can ask for limits on how much the insurers can charge, limits on how much people's premiums can go up annually, and insurance industry backing for these so-called cooperatives that are probably going to be the best bet to extend coverage to the 47 million who don't have insurance right now.
How do you rate this bargain that maybe is going to get struck?
I think it's not going to be as good as the public plan could have been. We know what the public plan looked like. We know how that would have fit into the insurance landscape. We also know that many, many people supported it, which means there would have been customers for the thing. With that out of the picture, the co-ops are much sketchier. The design of these things is going to be crucial. For instance, if you make it too small, do it at the municipal or state level, it's probably not going to be very effective. You need to do it at the national level. In reality, there's much less history and track record for these things at a national level. So does this get the 47 million people who are uninsured covered? We don't know that yet. Does this protect all those people with pre-existing conditions or health problems? We don't know that yet either. The important thing, though, if Obama's going to take the public plan off the table, he's now able to turn to the insurance industry and its conservative friends and say, look what I'm prepared to do to cut a deal. What are you going to do?
LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, thank you.
A pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
A British telecom company is employing an unusual marketing team, a band of former pickpockets. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
20 former pickpockets are roaming the streets of the capital, trying to put something back into society. Using all the tricks of the trade, they're surreptitiously slipping cash into unguarded pockets and handbags. The sums range up to £20 or $33. Not an entirely altruistic activity. Along with the cash, these artful dodgers deposit a card advertising the services of a telecom firm, the TalkTalk Company. It's giving away more than $150,000 during this promotional campaign. The put pockets, as they're called, are currently working the crowds in Leicester Square, Oxford Street and the Tube. They've been told to avoid the financial district in case they inadvertently give money to a banker. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And you can watch the put pocketers do their thing at our website. They're good. Go see them at marketplace.org. And one more British idea that could catch on. An Englishman named Paul McCrudden has decided even when he's not at work, his time is still worth money. So he sent invoices to all the companies he encountered on his time off, along with a letter explaining the charges. He told a restaurant that his being visible in their window made them look popular and attracted other customers. Plus, he wasn't dining with their competitors. He billed his time at a rate of about $42 per hour. And one grocery store actually went along with it and paid him. Mr. McCrudden, for telling your story on the air, I will be sending you a bill. And you can send that money to Bill Radke in Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.